Okay, this morning, let's turn to Genesis 18, 16 to 33. Then the man rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham, it will surely become a great and mighty nations, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have chosen him in order that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, in order that the Lord may bring upon Abraham and what he has spoken about him." And the Lord said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcries, which has come to me, and if not, I will know." Then the man turned away from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, "Will thou indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will thou indeed sweep away and not spare the space for the sake of the 50 righteous are in it? Far be it from thee to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from thee, shall the judge of all the earth deal justly?" So the Lord said, "If I find Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account." And Abraham answered and said, "Now behold, I venture to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5, wilt thou destroy the whole city because of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if I find 45 there." And he spoke again to him, yet again said, "Suppose 40 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it on the account of the 40. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose 30 are found there." And he said, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." And he said, "Now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on the account of the 20. Then he said, "Oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak only this once. Suppose 10 are found there." And he said, "I will not destroy it on the account of that 10. And as soon as he finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed, and Abraham returned to this place. So let's just start with a prayer. Father God, I would just invite you to come in this morning and speak to us through this message, and really just give us a wonderful prayer time this morning as well. Pray all this in Jesus' name. So this week we have been talking about prayer and intercessions. So just a quick recap, because it's Friday. So on Tuesday, Pastor Sam talked about, you know, God is looking for someone to stand in the gap to pray for the city, to build up the wall and stand in the gap to pray. On Wednesday, P. Sam Kim actually shared with us this prayer of confession from the book of Ezra. And he spoke about, you know, the heart condition that we should have when we go into intercessions. And yesterday, P. Nate once again reminded us that, you know, God always involves man in his plan. And it is the way that God do things. And this morning, I'd like to share with you three different pictures that I have from the Bible. And the first picture that I have is from the scripture that I just read out. This is actually the first prophetic intercession that you get recorded in the Bible. If we can put ourselves into the picture, God is standing on the top of a mountain overseeing the city of Sodom. And Abraham is standing next to him, and he was sharing his heart to Abraham and telling Abraham, "Hey, I'm going to destroy this city because their sin is so grave." You know, yesterday we talked about, you know, God always involves man in his plan. He doesn't do it just randomly, like not a random thing that God, okay, I want to man to be involved. He did it for a purpose. Can we actually look at verse, like, you know, from the 17 to 20, we actually know God do it so that for the sole reason that because Abraham is going to be a great mighty nation, and he wanted to train him up, he wanted to equip him and tell him, teach him what is righteousness, what is justice. And the way that, you know, it's very interesting to see how God interact with Abraham. You see the interaction with them. It's like he actually allowed Abraham to question him, to ask him. If you look at, you know, the verses, you know, from 24, Abraham was asking him, like, if there's 50 people, righteous people still there, are you going to destroy them? Like, are you going to destroy righteous people with the wicked people? Is it a just thing for you to do, Lord? And he allowed Abraham to question, to actually think. It's not as if, Lord, you know, God tell you this is the things that you must do and this is not to do. It's like not the list of do and don'ts, but he actually allowed us to actually be part of the thinking process, to question, to ask, and to come to understand what's the meaning of just and righteousness. And we see from the passage that, you know, after, you know, Abraham sort of questioned and asked him, and God actually accept his argument. It's like, okay, I won't destroy though for the 50 of those that righteous people that is in the city. And then we go on to see in the passage that how Abraham actually negotiate with God. He's really a good negotiator. He negotiated from 50, 45, 30, 20, and to 10. I mean, if you go shopping with Abraham, I mean, he is a good person to go with because he slashed the price to 1/5. I mean, who can do that? And some people are saying that, you know, the reason that Abraham can go that far to get God to reduce to 10, not to wipe out the whole city for 10 righteous people, is because Abraham know God. You know, for me, when I look at this passage, I'm seeing that it is a process of getting to know who God is. The attitude of Abraham is very respectful the whole way through. He's testing the water and see how far God can go. And through a lot of time, when we intercede for other people, this is a way to get to know God as well, to really know God's heart. It's like when you go into the intercession, you get to know, oh, how far God is prepared to, willing to listen to you. And you actually learn more from God. Very interestingly, if we look at here, is that God start out to teach Abraham what is righteousness, what is just. But he end up showing us his heart for the people, the compassions that he has for people. He ready, I mean, if we read on to the book of Genesis, we can see that the city indeed was beyond any help. It was really immoral and it was really bad. But God is prepared to not to wipe out the whole city for the sake of 10 people. And that brings me to another picture that I want to share with you. And this is actually in the book of Jonah. If we can turn to that, it would be Jonah 4:11. Actually, the book of Jonah is my favorite book. And this is the verse. It might not strike you, but this verse actually is one of my favorite verses because I really can see God's heart for his people through this verse. In here, the background is that God is going to wipe out again the city of Nineveh, and because the city is deeply in sin, but God gives them a second chance. So he sent Jonah to go there and proclaim and ask the people to repent. And Jonah really didn't want to see this happen. He know that God is going to spare the city if the people repent. So here at the end of the day, that God did not destruct the city, and Jonah was sitting again on the top of the mountain, sulking and angry with God and why he have this compassion for these people. And God really touched this. Like God just explained to him in this verse, you know, it said here, 11, "Should I not have compassion on Nineveh, the great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know the difference between the right and their left hand, as well as many animals?" And that's the compassion of God. You know, a lot of time when we go into intercession, as I said before, is that you actually can feel the compassion of God. When you are interceding for people from your heart and not treating as a, you know, it's a duty of a Christian, we have to pray and that, you actually go into with an open heart, allowing God to show you what his heart's for those city and the country, you feel the compassion of God. And I can really guarantee you, because my experience is that when you go into it, you can feel and understand what God has in mind for those cities. It's not to destroy them, but to love them, to save them, and to have them back. And I can guarantee you, you will learn to be like Abraham in chapter 18. And that comes to a point I want to share with you this morning also, that I have this really sad conversation with a friend of mine this week. She's a teacher. She's been teaching for a number of years and also a Christian. I remember, you know, when she first arrived in Hong Kong, first get onto her job, she would pray for a student. And before the class, she would go into the toilet and pray for a student. And her student actually know, like, Miss So-and-so will be praying teacher at this time. And she will also, you know, spot out the Christian that is in her school. They get together, pray for the student, and, you know, support each other during the work time. And sometimes they have problems, and they prayer support and all this. A few years went by, and she changed different school now, and my last conversation with her was, to me, it's quite sad, you know, in a way, is she's sharing with me, like, she's been more experienced now, so she doesn't have to spend so much time to prepare, and to a point that, you know, she doesn't really have to rely on God. She told me, like, you know, my job doesn't involve God anymore. She doesn't really, like, you know, care about the student. Like, to her, today, it's like, student come and go. They come in my life for a season, they leave for a season, and you just let them go pass by. To my heart, I feel really sad. It's like she lost her calling. The calling, the place that God had put her in is the school. She's the teacher, and those students are just like the people in the city of the Ninevite. They don't know their left hand from the right, and she just let them go. I mean, honestly, we don't know when Jesus is coming back. He can be any time, but maybe a long time. But for those that who we joke with, we have fun, we have good fellowship, one day we might not see them again. And these are the people that God put into our path. Yes, we may be doing like things to minister to them, but at least, like, if we don't do anything, at least we pray for them. Don't let them just go past you, live your life. The fact that I actually can be standing here and sharing a message with you, preaching, you know, doing all this, it's all because of people intercede for me. I came to Christ at a point of time that, you know, from a worldly point of view, it's like I don't really need God at that time because everything is going well with me. I have a good job, no worry about money, I have favor for my boss, and colleagues respect me, and, you know, friends and family, and everything in order. I was like, at the time, I don't really need God. But neither do I know at that time, a colleague on her way to work, she was thinking about me. And I mean, I guess to her mind, I'm a good lawyer, and I do my work quite okay, and quite committed person, I guess. And she was thinking on her way to work, and she's thinking, if Sophia is a Christian and using her gifting to serve the Lord, it would be great. And from that day, she would be praying for me on her way to work. You know, nothing to do, right? Walking along the flyover from Wan Chai. And she just pray that one day I become a Christian. She prayed my salvation. And literally, I would say that he prayed me into the kingdom of God. And yes, I of course, like, for someone's salvation, it's like work of different people and also the word of God. But I'm definitely thinking that those intercession doesn't go wasted. And she didn't even evangelize to me during that time, but she's simply doing her walk to work and pray for me. Another very significant point in my life is the first time when I was really on fire for God and doing all the things, but I overdid myself and I go into a burnout period and I really, really sink into a spiritual low and to a point that I actually skip church. And this is actually unthinkable at the time because I was like, God is my life at that time. And I was like, unthinkable that I actually skip church. And I was staying in that situation for a little while. And then I decided, you know, this cannot go on anymore. So I think I have to come out. So what do I do? And the first person that bring to my mind is Angela Im, like the elders in this church. And so I call her up. And she's at the time I'm attending a different church. But somehow, you know, God reminded me of her, so I went up and called her. It turned out that that was during the SP annual fast. And God was so specific to her and tell her to intercede fast and pray for me during that time. And also tell her that don't contact Sophia. Although her heart is like dying to find out what's going on, Lord, like why are you asking me to pray for this girl? And you know, and but she'd been doing that. And on the fourth day of the fast, I call her. And so she invited me to SP and I come to SP and here I am sharing a message with you. And really, I think that prayer and intercessions change and transform people, person. It may not be something that you see tangibly, but it does work. And so I guess this morning, so we should spend some more time into really meditating and praying and interceding for whoever God is putting in your mind. So at this juncture, I just ask Monica to come out and we just go close our eyes and go into and ask God to reveal to us, you know, a people group that that God really wants us to intercede for. Maybe a country that He loves. Father, this morning we come to you. We just come before you, Lord. You know, every day we've been bombarded with news all over the world about different sectors in this city and all this. We become so desensitized that we are no longer sensitive to the message that you want to convey to us, Lord. So, Lord, this morning I just ask, Lord, that you really open our eyes to see this city, to see the country that you love. Father, open our ears to hear the outcry of those oppressed people of the city, the need of the city. Speak to my brother, sister now, Father God, you know, what you have in mind for those people that you want them to intercede for, Lord. God, I just ask you to show us your compassions, not really just for those people also, but also for my brother and sister, because when they intercede, I know that they become connected to you. So Father God, speak to us now. You know, in the beginning, I mentioned that there's three pictures that is in the Bible that I want to share with you this morning. And the third picture is the picture of Jesus walking along the shoreline with Peter, and he asked Peter, "Do you love me?" Three times he asked Peter, and Peter answered him, "You know, Lord, I love you as a friend." And each time, Jesus would tell Peter, "Feed my lamb. Take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, So with our eyes still closed, I ask the Lord to reveal to you where the sheep of the Lord are. Have you seen them? God has placed them in your path. Have you fed them yet? Have you taken care of them? Have you prayed for them? So Lord, reveal to my brother and sister that the sheep, those lost ones that you have placed on their path. And let's use this time to really pray for those sheep that you saw that walked past you. And also ask God what to do with them, Lord, how to feed them, how to take care of them.
Oh,
Father God, so thank you for coming in. Really, just this is our prayer, Lord, that you just really empty our all the junk that is in our life, and so that we are so ready to carry the word of blessing, to carry whatever that you're going to teach us, and our most important of all, Lord, to carry that passions, the passion, the compassion that you have for the people of this city, for the people around us, or even for people that you want us to pray for, Lord. Lord, we really lift up today, you know, this morning, our church to you, and I just pray that, you know, this church is a praying church, a church that does know your heart, Lord, a church that beat with the heartbeat of God. This morning, let's pray for the house church, McCain House Church is gathering today, Lord. Let's pray for this house church and pray that God really anointed the house church leader and gave them wonderful fellowship time and really speak to them during the fellowship time. And also, let's pray for the Saturday ministry that is our intercessor team who come together to pray for SP every week faithfully. Pray that, you know, God really speak to them and they really download from God and also pray for Sunday service, both service and also the Noah's ministry and also the youth group also gathering on Saturday. Let's also lift this ministry into prayer. Also tonight, 8 o'clock, there is an NK conference, the empowerment conference. So, and also Saturday, there will be three slot time that there will be time of sharing, the speaker coming over. So let's pray for the speaker, really pray that, you know, they are really sharing the heart of God about this city, this country, and also to SP people and what message that God wants to speak to us through this conference. So let's lift this conference up. Also, let's pray for as we move, really ask for God's provisions for not just a bigger place, but a place that we can advance the plan that God has for SP to be, you know, in His kingdom. God definitely have greater plan for each one of us, for SP, and we just ask, Lord, that God will give us a place where more can be done. Father God, I just give thanks to You because You are in the midst of us and You're present with us this morning, Lord. Father, I know that, you know, intercession is not just exclusive for intercessor, for pastor, for prophet or anyone. It's for every Christian, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that, you know, burn away any excuse that we give ourselves not to pray for other people. Burn away all the hesitations, Lord, that we know that, you know, through the blood of Jesus, we become the descendants of Abraham. We become that great and mighty nations. Lord, that You are again and again in the Bible, You say we are the chosen people. We are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nations. We are people belonging to You, Lord. So, Lord, I ask that speak to us every moment, every time, every day, and help us to be connected with You the whole time, Lord. Whenever we have a conversation or with our colleagues or with fellow student or whatever, Lord, help us that our heart be so ready to receive from You and download from You what You have for that person. Lord, I just ask that, you know, show us the compassion, not just, you know, for those people, yes, and we pray for them, but also, Lord, it's a process of my brother and sister and getting to know You. And I just pray that this journey of walking with You are so enjoyable. And just like that, the relationship that You have, Abraham, and how patient, how loving that the love that You have showed Peter and showed Jonah. Lord, that we ask that, show us, let's experience You in the same way, Lord. Really, I just ask, Lord, that to empower my brother and sister in when they walk out of the sanctuary, they be recharged and so few of You, and they're ready for another brand new day, Lord. Thank You so much, Lord, and I pray all this in Jesus' name.